If you would, turn to page, I think it's 92 in your liturgy book. So this reading has forced us to go back several pages if we're using the book, and that's because this is called the reading of the 17th Sunday, and we're well into the 20s and 30th Sunday from Pentecost. So why are we reading the reading from the 17th? And it's a confusing sort of complex system of selection of readings. But let's just say that last year when this one could have been read, it wasn't read for one reason or another. And so this is a period in the year where we kind of grab those that we didn't read and read them. In any case, whether it was then or now, it's certainly beneficial to us, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So this is basically an exhortation. Paul, if you look towards the end, he says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit." Okay? So he's going to now give some kind of argument that leads to that exhortation. So Paul's teaching is about true holiness, what it is, and that it is this kind of holiness that all who believe in Christ are obliged to practice and make perfect. So Paul's word as an apostle is by itself authoritative. But, I mean, after all, he says, "I did not receive it from man, but I was taught it by revelation of Jesus Christ." He said that when he wrote to the Galatians. Christ appeared to him and taught him directly the gospel. So when Paul speaks, is the mouth of Christ, like the other apostles. And even so, Paul supports what he writes in this particular epistle and in other places by writings from the Old Testament to show that the teachings of the church are consistent. It's one God is the maker of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's one sort of consistent teaching. So he quotes some of the prophets who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why he says here, we are the temple of the living God, then it's quote, he says, God said, quote, "I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, if you did a search, you won't find those exact words in the Old Testament, but what you find is in the book of Leviticus, the following, the Lord says through Moses, he says, "I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." So Paul paraphrases and shortens for the purposes of his, you know, argument here, but the basic same meaning is that I, you know, will dwell among them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he says the promise that "I will be your God and shall be your, you shall be my people" was also prophesied by the prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. I'm not going to give you the passages here, but you would find those same sentiments and those same promises again in other places of the Old Testament. Then Paul continues with his quote, or rather paraphrase from the Old Testament. He says, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Clearly a quote from somewhere. And it's from Isaiah chapter 5, where he says, Isaiah actually says to the Jews at that time who were taken captive into Babylon, and they were, you know, in this non-Jewish, correct religion place, he's saying, "Depart, depart. Go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her," meaning Babylon. "Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." And again, Isaiah in chapter 43 says, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the earth, from the end of the earth." Again, Paul is taking those general meaning of the Lord and applying it here to what he is exhorting the Christians to do living in, you know, in the world. And he says, "Since we have these promises, beloved," this is now Paul speaking, "let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and make holiness perfect in the fear of God." So what promises is he says, since we have these promises, what promises? What he just kind of said. He said, one, that God will dwell among us. God promised that. That the promise of the salvation and glory that come from being God's people. And third, the great gift of God, namely the gift of adoption as sons and daughters, all of which come especially, you know, as people believed in God and were baptized into Christ and then were received these gifts. So God promised to do these things if we who hear them depart and separate ourselves from disbelief and from wrong belief, and if we completely turn away from everything sinful in thought, word, and deed, not even touching, coming close, tempting ourselves, teasing, whatever that is, everyone can kind of figure that out, how far, you know, it is, indifferent it is to turn away from sin and things that are impure and completely keep them out of our life. And he says to do this in the fear of God, so that to show that perfect holiness is that which is done for the fear, faith, and love of God, and not for some other reason, like fear of being arrested. I mean, you know, says God says do not murder, and so does, you know, so does the law say don't murder. And you know, some people will say, okay, I'm not going to murder because I don't want to go to jail. Well, okay, that's kind of a good, but you know, it's a better good to do it because God said don't murder, right? And that trickles down to everything else. And also not to do it for the sake of human praise and compliments, but rather simply because God wants it. And so we do it for the love of God. That was in the fear of God, meaning faith, fear, and love of God. So let's stand and pray now.